SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, April 21st, episode 142. And let's get started with our tip-off topics with Cooper Makes a Decision. Cooper Flagg, the player of the year, all outstanding forward from Duke University, has announced officially earlier today that he is foregoing his last 3 years and entering the NBA draft. And it's not shocking that it took Cooper a little bit of time. This is a kid that thoroughly enjoyed his time at Duke. He loved his teammates. He loved playing for John Shire. And I think he generally wrestled with the fact of, do I stay another year and try and win a national championship? I really felt like if he would have won it, and Duke would have won it this year, I think it would have been a no-brainer. I think because he did not win it, it was the only reason why I kind of kept Cooper Flagg around to consider staying at Duke University. Obviously, he now has declared for the NBA draft. He will be the number one pick in the NBA draft. And now that makes the lottery all more interesting of who will get what I think is the best American-born prospect since LeBron James. I'm saying it. I'll say it again. The best U.S.-born prospect to come into the NBA since LeBron. Congrats to Cooper Flagg, and we can't wait to see him in the association. Now to the portal news. Star guard Ian Jackson has committed, according to Joe Tipton and On the Three Sports, has committed to play for Rick Pitino and St. John's. This is another massive pickup for Rick Pitino. Obviously, you know, picking up other transfers as well. The kid out of Arizona State, obviously the kid out of Providence. You know, they just lost Simeon Wiltshire. Obviously, we know R.J. Lewis has to decide. It's really quick. Make sure you understand this. By Thursday is the deadline for the portal. So you're going to start to see a lot of flurry of moves, but St. John's gets the former five-star guard out of New York City, who is a dynamic scorer, who scored 20 points in a bunch, I think about 8 or 9 games during the year, Ian Jackson in that new remade backcourt at St. John's will be pretty, pretty impressive. Before we recap all of the games over the weekend, there was news earlier today of, according, I do believe, to Sham Sharania, that the Atlanta Hawks have made drastic changes to their front office. And what they're doing is, the main take about it is Landry Fields has been let go as general manager of Atlanta. And if you really look at this Atlanta team, they're a middling team. They're a team that's good enough to make the play-in, but not good enough to make any roads in the playoffs. I know they had that run the 1 year, I do believe it was 2021, when they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Trae Young gets hurt versus Milwaukee with the ankle. And then, you know, obviously from there, they haven't been the same. They've shuffled the deck. They fired Nick McMillan. They brought in Quinn Snyder. They had John Collins. They traded him, right? They got DeJounte Murray. Didn't like it. Traded DeJounte Murray. They drafted Jalen Johnson. They drafted DeAndre Hunter. Traded DeAndre Hunter. So it's not surprising now at this point Atlanta makes a drastic move and a change from Landry Fields. It'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward in regard to Atlanta and how they play this out. Ansi Salai has been named the general manager as of right now. And we'll see what happens in Atlanta. There's going to be key questions that's going to come out of Atlanta. One, do they trade Trey? Two, you got Reese Shea and Jalen Johnson. Do you move one of them, or you try to play them at the 3-4? Three, you know, Okongwu looks so good in the play-in. Like, you got to move on from Clint Capella. There's a lot of moving parts here for Atlanta. It'll be interesting to see if they decide to do number one, which is trade Trae Young. They can get a ton of return and officially start a full rebuild. Let's head to the playoffs, and let's just go in chronological order in which they were played, leading off with a big 117-98 win by the Indiana Pacers, who took a 1-0 lead versus Milwaukee. It really wasn't a contest. You know, obviously Giannis was outstanding. the play of the Pacers and the ability to score is going to be a problem in this series. Can Milwaukee get Dame back? Here's the bigger thing. Can Milwaukee just be damn competitive? That's the issue, because without Dame, they can't score enough, and it doesn't matter if they can't don't have Dame or don't have him, they can't stop anyone. Game two will be Tuesday night at the Pacers. Next game, obviously, big one, 112-110. Denver wins over the Clippers in overtime. And this is a game where the Clippers were kind of, I think they were the favorite, so, you know, cover by the Nuggets. And this is just an interesting game in regards to, you know, big lead by the Clippers, blow the lead. Russell Westbrook, big shot with about, you know, under a minute left to go, tie the game, big stops. This will be a critical game. By the time you see this podcast, we would have played game two. So it'll be interesting to see if this goes back to LA 1-1 or 2-0. I think this is still going seven. Big comeback by the Knicks, 123-112 versus Detroit. Game two is Monday night. It will be a big spot for Detroit. Listen, Detroit played well, 98-90, 98-93. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, J.B. Bickerstaff, who I think could be a candidate for Coach of the Year, pulls Cade Cunningham. Knicks go on a 21-0 run, and it really wasn't the same since. And you got to wonder, did the moment get too big with Detroit? Yes, as they go into game two Monday night. Can the Detroit Pistons rebound and make this a series? Should be interesting where that series lines up. 1-0 Knicks. Obviously, game two is Monday night. So by the time you see this, they've already went through that. Game three will be Thursday. Now let's head on to Minnesota, winning 117-95 over the Lakers. Simply put, Lakers did not do a lot right. Besides Luka Doncic starting strong, their defense was absolutely terrible. Minnesota shot nearly 50% from three. Anthony Edwards didn't play well, but Naz Reid did. And so did Jaden McDaniels. And it was a beatdown of epic proportions. And now people are going to start looking at J.J. Redick as, well, what are you going to do now? Because this is the first time you've been in this spot. Can you adjust? Huge, huge, huge game Tuesday night, game two, Minnesota at the Lakers. If the Lakers don't win that game, that series is over. Heading to Sunday, 103-86. Celtics versus the Magic covering the spread. Are we shocked by it? No. Are we shocked that Orlando played it this slow? No. But Orlando's got to get better play besides Wagner and Banchero, who were absolutely fantastic. The rest of them jokers scored 31 damn points in a blowout loss. Game number two at Beantown on Wednesday night. Speaking of beatdown, the biggest beatdown was a 131-80 win by the Thunder, winning by 51 points for a team in the Grizzlies that shot under 20% from three, had 22 turnovers, got out-rebounded by 11, and SGA wasn't even that good. You want to talk about non-competitive series? People want to talk about getting rid of play-in. Maybe we need to get rid of the 8 seed, because this 8 seed got their ass kicked. Let's see what happens in game number two, which will be Tuesday night at OKC. Speaking of beatdowns, here's another beatdown, 121-100 by Cleveland over Miami, obviously covering the spread. Listen, fourth quarter, Jerome was in the house. Tied Jerome 6-7 from the floor in the fourth quarter as they blew that game open. This game was actually competitive for three quarters until Cleveland got the win. And then lastly, 95-85, what a win by the Warriors on the road. Simply put, if Houston's going to compete, Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet, hello, it's playoffs. You cannot shoot 2 of 17 from three and think you're beating Steph and Jimmy Buckets, a.k.a. playoff Jimmy, playoff him, Hemi, whatever you want to call him. You can't shoot that bad and compete in the playoffs versus the Warriors. Coming up next, we'll go into our award tour, where we'll look at the finalists for all the major awards in the NBA. And I will tell you, based off of that, if my picks have changed or not. We'll be back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 142. And it's time to get into our award tour. We break down the future market. I figured that now that the NBA has released its finalists for all major individual awards, that the best way to look at this is look at the finalists and see what I think. Shop around. You probably can't get anything now, but this is more about looking at what I picked and where we move forward. First off, Clutch Player of the Year, Jalen Brunson, New York Knicks. Anthony Edwards, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets. This is such a hard award to figure out. But to me, I'm going with Brunson. This is a guy that has the critical ball in his hands in the fourth quarter, has hit big shot after big shot. And even though they have guys like Cat on his team, he sent Tibbs' style of late game, put the ball on the wing, give the ball to Jalen Brunson, one-on-one, big shot after big shot. Jalen Brunson is my choice for Clutch Player of the Year. Let's head to the Defensive Player of the Year award, which got interesting when Victor Wembanyama went out with the blood clots. Thank goodness it sounds like he's going to be okay. By the way, it's been okay. Let's say a prayer for Greg Popovich, who passed out, I do believe, over the weekend at a restaurant in San Antonio. We need Pop back. We need him back healthy soon. Well, let's get back to Defensive Player of the Year award, where after Wembanyama went out, Dyson Daniels, Atlanta Hawks, Draymond Green, Golden State Warriors, Evan Mobley, Cleveland Cavaliers. This is going to be interesting because if you believe the media or his podcast, it's going to be Draymond. Draymond basically talked himself into being a finalist. He should not win it. It shouldn't be close. Evan Mobley, obviously, is the top defender or one of the top defenders for the best defensive team. But to me, it's Dyson Daniels. This is a Dyson Daniels that plays on an Atlanta Hawks team that really doesn't play any defense. So to me, I'm looking at, obviously, Dyson Daniels to be Defensive Player of the Year. And if anybody listened to me, and Matt knows this, I called this about 2.5 months ago. Now let's go on with the most improved player, Cade Cunningham, Detroit Pistons, Dyson Daniels again, Atlanta Hawks, Ivica Zubac for the Clippers. And for me, it's going to be Cade. Do I think it should be Cade? Absolutely not. Because I have a major problem with getting a most improved player to a guy that's a number one draft pick. Cade always had stats. He just wasn't healthy. So to me, that should not make him Defensive Player of the Year award, even though he was the favorite down the stretch. I think Daniel should get Defensive Player of the Year. So give me Zubac. This is a guy that really I've gone on a lot on this network, but has really gotten my attention with his, roughly 18 points, 13 rebounds a game during the season. As you can see, my puppy's on my lap, so I'm trying to keep her calm. But I do like Ivica Zubac to win most improved. Let's go to MVP, Giannis, SGA, Joker. Can you go with any of the three? Yes, but only one team was the best team in the NBA. Only one team led their league by 15 games. Only one team had a player that did all the things that SGA did, including on the defensive end of the floor, where you could argue he's one of the 10 best defenders on the planet. So to me, it's SGA. It's pretty simply put, what a job SGA did this year. What a job that Oklahoma City did this year. This is a stat line for SGA, which had a fantastic stat, scoring over 30 points a game. His assist to turnover ratio was respectable, and you really can look at the fact that SGA should be the MVP. Even on Nikola Jokic, average a triple-double, Giannis with a great season, especially down the stretch, I don't think it's even close. It's going to be SGA. Let's head over to the Rookie of the Year, where the three finalists are Stephon Castle of the San Antonio Spurs, Zachary Richey of Atlanta, and Jalen Wells for Memphis. And obviously, we hope Jalen Wells gets better. I do believe Jalen Wells got hurt towards the end of the season last year in a really nasty fall. Zachary Richey had a great end of the year. Simply put, it took them to get Jalen Johnson hurt. You don't want that, of course. And obviously, you have to look at the fact of, trading DeAndre Hunter. But to me, it is Castle. Castle, by process of elimination, and the stats that he put down the stretch of the season should give him Rookie of the Year. Next up, Sixth Man of the Year, Malik Beasley. What else can you say of what he's done? Leadership, shooting, toughness that he's brought to Detroit. My guy, Ty Jerome's in the house. Ty Jerome, what he's done for a Cleveland Cavs team that really can beat you with so many different ways and so many different players. And then lastly, you know, Peyton Pritchard. Who's going to get the award? Matt, you know where I'm going. Pritch better have my money. Peyton Pritchard should win Sixth Man of the Year award for what he has done for the Boston Celtics. This guy is a sniper. This guy can get his shot off of anyone at any time. Don't let the size fool you and how he plays. He's shifty. He's quick. He's got a killer jump shot. And I don't think it should be close. It should be Peyton Pritchard, a.k.a. Pritch better have my money for the Sixth Man of the Year. Lastly, Coach of the Year, Kenny Atkinson, Cleveland Cavs. Jamie Bickerstaff, Detroit. Ime Udoka in Houston. And you guys know this. There is no bigger fan on this network of Kenny Atkinson than mine. I've been singing his praises since I started here in 2021. What he has done in Cleveland is absolutely amazing. He's going to win the award. Kenny Atkinson should be third. He should be third. Let's be honest. If you look at how these teams have played, Kenny Atkinson should be third. Second place should go to J.B. Bickerstaff. What he did in Detroit, this was like a 19-win team last year. Shout out to Monty Williams, probably never getting a head coaching job again. But what a job by J.B. Bickerstaff with this team. But to me, it's Ime Udoka. You get second place and you get 50-some-odd wins in a Western Conference and you win that division, you should be Coach of the Year. Shout out to my pick, Ime Udoka, of the Houston Rockets. Coming up next, we'll get into our scouting report. We'll preview game two is taking place on Tuesday and Wednesday night. We'll look at Milwaukee versus Indiana. Can they tie it up, Milwaukee? Will the Grizzlies show up at all versus Oklahoma City? Lakers versus the Timberwolves? And then lastly, we'll look at Orlando versus Boston. We'll be back with our scouting report after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 142, and it's time to get into our scouting report. What we're going to do with the scouting report is we're going to look at games that are being played Tuesday and Wednesday, and we're going to look at series odds, as obviously all the odds have shifted since game number one. Let's start off with the first game being played Tuesday night, and that's Milwaukee at the Pacers. The Pacers right now are minus 280 favorites to win the series. Bucks at plus 230. Series spread, best one to get is minus 1.5 for Indiana. And the interesting thing is over under 5 games. The one I'm going to look at, folks, honestly, I'm going under 5.5 games. I just look at this Indiana team playing really well, their best basketball, and I just don't believe until they get Dame back, they're not going to be able to score enough Milwaukee. And if you really think about it, folks, if when Dame comes back, he's going to help them offensively, and he's going to kill them defensively. So the best bet I would look at is under 5.5 games in Milwaukee versus Indiana. Next one, OKC versus Memphis. Oh, my God, minus 10,000 for the series winner. Yeah, we kind of know this series is over. OKC minus 3.5 games, over under 4.5 games. Simply put, whatever gives you the better bargain, and it's probably going to be the same number, OKC minus 3.5 games or under 4.5 games is what this is going to be. This is going to be a clean sweep. Last game, Tuesday night, is the big one. Lakers have now become the underdog at plus 118, minus 138 for Minnesota. Minnesota series spread is minus 1.5 games, over under 6.5. I am of the mindset that the Lakers are going to win game two. This could be a zigzag series, and I think this is going seven. I like Minnesota plus the 1.5 games before the series started. So I'm sticking with it, but the better way to do it is over, under, I'm going to go over 6.5 games. This will go seven. Let's head to the Eastern Conference now for Wednesday, first game. minus 10,000. Yikes. Boston versus plus 3,000 for Orlando. Best series spread, Boston minus 3.5. Over under 4.5 games. I'm going over 4.5 games or obviously plus 3.5 for Orlando. I think Boston's going to have a game where they don't shoot the ball well from three. Think about the fact that they shot 43% from three. You only got 31 combined points by everyone besides Wagner and Banchero, and it was a 17-point game. I know you're like, Coach, it's still a blowout. I don't think you get it. Boston's going to have a game when they shoot 25% from three, and Orlando's going to steal it. Orlando plus 3.5 games or over 4.5 games, I think they get one. Next one, not much better. Cleveland, minus 8,000 versus plus 2,200 for Miami. Best series spread right now. Cleveland minus 3.5 games, over under 4.5 games. I'm taking the same approach. But this time, I'm just not basing it on the fact that Boston's shooting too many threes. I'm just basically going to the Heat have too much pride that they're going to allow themselves to get swept, especially losing game four in Miami. I think Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Eric Spoelstra find a way to steal a game in this series. I was thinking it was going to be six. It's more likely going to be five. So if I get it at five, I think the one to look at here is over 4.5 games. Next game, biggest one, 3-1 now. Houston Rockets are an underdog, minus 375 for obviously Golden State. Golden State series spread minus 2.5, over under 5.5 games. This, I still think this is going seven. So you could take the Rockets plus 2.5 games. You may take them plus 1.5 at more plus money. Take the over 5.5 games in this series. And really quick, if we can go back, some props to look at here. Miami, I still think Tyler Hero is going to find a way to be up there in series scoring lead because I think you have the sum of the parts of Cleveland, like you saw what Ty Jerome did in the fourth quarter. And obviously we look at, Tyler Hero's got to be the guy for Miami. When you look at some other series, Ant also the leading series in scoring. He's down by 20 points to Luka. But if this goes six or seven, I just need one huge 40-point performance, LeBron to show up the other way, and Ant back in the mix. Ant to lead the series in scoring. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for April 21st. For all things sports gambling, download the Sports Grid app, pregame, in-game, postgame, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Maddie George, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. Thanks for listening, folks. And always remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.